Chapter 11. Zachariah did not so much step forward as those about him shrank away. He stood there alone, as if he'd been marooned upon a Pacific isle. Though he did not lift his eyes, he seemed nonetheless to sense his abandonment. Small, wrinkled man that he was, he appeared to have grown smaller.
"Mr. Zachariah," the captain said, "do you have anything to say?"
Zachariah remained silent.
"You had best speak for yourself," the captain taunted. "I doubt your friends will say a word in your defense. They are all cowards."
He paused as if waiting for someone to challenge him. When no one spoke, he nodded and said,
"So much for your shipmates, Mr. Zachariah. So much for your round robin. Now, sir, I ask you again, have you anything to say on your own behalf?"
At first, Zachariah stared dead ahead. Then he shifted his gaze slightly. I was certain he was looking right at me now. I tried to turn away, but couldn't. Instead, I stood gazing at him, eyes flooded with tears. Zachariah began to speak.
I have been a sailor for more than 40 years, he said slowly. There have been hard captains and easy ones. But you, sir, have been the worst. No, I'll not regret rising against you,
he continued in his halting way.
I can only wish I'd acted sooner. I forgive the girl. You used her. She did not know better. I forgive my mates, too. They know where Captain Jaggery takes command. No, God signs on.
A pretty speech, the captain said scornfully, and as much a confession as anything I've ever heard. You may all note it in case anyone bothers to ask questions, though I shouldn't think anyone will care.
He looked contemptuously over the rest of the crew.
Is there any jack among you that will second this black man's slanders?
No one spoke.
Come now, he baited them. Who will be bold enough to say that Captain Andrew Jaggery is the worst master he's ever served? Speak up. I'll double the pay of the man who says yea.
Though the glitter of hatred in their eyes was palpable enough, no one dared give voice to it. The captain had them that much cowed.
Very well, he said. Mr. Hollabrass, string Mr. Zachariah up.
The first mate hesitated.
Mr. Hollabrass.
Aye, aye, sir, the man mumbled. With a kind of shuffle, he approached Zachariah, but then stood before the old man as if nerving himself. Finally, he reached out. Zachariah stepped back, but it was of no avail. The first mate caught him by the arm and led him back up the steps. As I looked on, aware only that something terrible was about to happen, Mr. Hollabrass set Zachariah against the outer rail and stripped him of his jacket. The skin of the old man's chest hung loose and wrinkled like a ragged burlap bag. Mr. Hollabrass turned Zachariah so that he faced into the shrouds, then climbed up into these shrouds and with a piece of rope bound his hands, pulling him so that the old man was all but hanging from his wrists, just supporting himself on the tips of his bare toes. Zachariah uttered no sound. I turned to look at Captain Jaggery. Only then did I see that he had a whip in his hands, its four strands twitching like the tail of an angry cat. Where he got it, I don't know. Feeling ill, I made to leave the deck.
"Miss Doyle!"
the captain cried out.
"You will remain."
I stopped dead.
"You are needed as witness," he informed me.
Now the captain held the whip out to his first mate.
"Mr. Hollabrass," he said, "he's to have 50 lashes.
Again Hollabrass hesitated, eyebrows arched in question.
"Captain," he said, 50 lashes seem..." 50,
the captain insisted.
"Start."
Hollybrass grasped the whip. As he took his time squaring away behind Zachariah, I could see his hand flex nervously, his temples pulse.
"Quickly!"
the captain demanded. Hollybrass lifted his arm and cocked it. Once more he paused, took a deep breath, until, with what appeared to be the merest flick of his wrist, the whip shot forward. Its tails hissed through the air and spat against Zachariah's back. The moment they touched the old man's skin, four red welts appeared. I felt I would faint.
"With strength, Mr. Hollybrass,"
the captain urged.
"With strength!"
Hollybrass cocked his arm. Again the wrist twisted. The whip struck. Zachariah's body gave a jerk. Four new red welt lines crossed the first.
"Captain Jaggery," I cried out suddenly, as much surprised as anyone that I was doing so.
The captain, startled, turned to look at me.
"Please, sir," I pleaded. "You mustn't."
For a moment the captain said nothing. His face had become very white.
"Why mustn't I?" he asked.
It's not fair,"
I stammered.
"Fair,"
he echoed, his voice thick with derision.
"Fair? These men meant to murder me, and no doubt you, Miss Doyle, and you talk of fair. If it's fairness you want, I could quote you chapter and line of the Admiralty Codes that say I'd serve justice best by shooting the cur."
"Please, sir," I said, tears running down my cheeks. "I shouldn't have told you. I didn't know. I'm sure Mr. Zachariah meant no harm. I'm sure he didn't."
"No harm, Miss Doyle."
The captain held up the round robin.
"Surely they teach you better logic than that in school."
"But I had no idea that..."
"Of course you had an idea,"
the captain snapped, his voice rising so all could hear.
"You came to me in shock and terror to inform me about what you'd seen. How right you were to do so. And right is what we do here. Proper order will be maintained."
He swung about.
"Mr. Hollybrass, you have given but 2 lashes. If you can do no better, you'd best stand aside for someone who has the gumption."
Sighing, but summoning up his strength, Hollybrass struck once more. Zachariah was no longer standing on his toes. He was simply hanging. Again the whip lashed. That time the old man moaned. I could bear it no longer. In a surge of tears and agonized guilt, I hurled myself at Hollybrass, who, hardly expecting an attack, twisted, then tumbled to the deck. I fell with him. In the scramble, I managed to snatch hold of the whip handle and leap to my feet. I was trying to throw it overboard, but Captain Jaggery was too quick. With a snarl, he grabbed hold of me. Frantic, I slipped out of his grasp and stood facing him, panting, weeping, gripping the whip handle hard. "You mustn't," I kept saying. "You mustn't."
"Give me that,"
the captain cried, advancing upon me again, his face blazing.
"Give it."
"You mustn't," I kept repeating. "You mustn't."
He took another step toward me. I'd wedged myself against the outward rail. In a gesture of defense, I pulled up my arm, and so doing, flicked the whip through the air, inflicting a cut across the captain's face. For an instant, a red welt marked him from his left cheek to his right ear. Blood began to ooze. I stood, utterly astonished by what I'd done. The captain remained motionless too, his face transfigured by surprise and pain. Slowly, he lifted a hand to his cheek, touched it delicately, then examined his fingertips. When he saw they were bloody, he swore a savage oath, jumped forward and tore the whip from my hand, whirled about, and began beating Zachariah with such fury as I had never seen. Finally, spent, he flung the whip down and marched from the deck. Mr. Hollybrass, his face ashen, swallowed hard and murmured, "All hands resume your stations." Groaning, he bent to gather up the guns and other weapons and followed after the captain. For a moment, no one did or said anything. Perhaps they had not heard the first mate. It was Fisk who broke the spell.
"Cut him down!" I heard him cry. Ewing hurried forward and climbed into the shrouds. In moments, Zachariah's scarred and bloodied body dropped to the deck. Keach knelt over the fallen man, while the others, standing in a close circle, looked down in terrible silence. I could see nothing of what was happening. Instead, I waited alone, trembling, trying to absorb all that I had seen and done. But as I watched from outside their circle, I felt myself grow sicker and sicker until, clutching my stomach, I turned and vomited into the sea. Shaken, weak with tears, I looked back to the sailors. They had picked Zachariah up and were carrying him toward the forecastle. I had been left alone.